Raymond, where were you born?
When was I born? In Luton.
When was that? What year were you born?
A long time ago.
We've forgotten. Okay.
1932.
I
shouldn't
look at
the camera.
That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what you do. What were your parents? What did they do?
My father was an artist. Mm-hmm. My mother was a seamstress.
Seamstress. Oh, that makes it more Victorian than 1932.
It was 19, not 18. Yeah, it's despite appearance.
Sounds like sort of Dickens in Kenya. I'm reading about Little Nell. She was a seamstress.
They met in a shop 2 minutes from my present fact.
So.
Important piece of trivia on the record.
Apthorpe is
trivia to them.
Seems,
or to me, since I was the result of that trivia.
What kind of name is Apthorpe? Is it
it's a Welsh name, isn't it?
Oh, there's an argument about it, whether it's Welsh or not.
Ap is a Welsh.
Oh, yes, and Thorpe is a sort of place or something.
Mm. Like. Yes.
Yes. So you were born in Luton and you stayed there, did you think?
Just to be born, I wasn't very interested in staying in Luton. No. Sorry.
And then you went. Where did you go to school?
In Berners Green. Everywhere.
Everywhere. What sort of everywhere? I mean, mostly in the south.
Well, my father went from post to post in the same company.
I thought you said he was an artist. Yes. A commercial artist.
Commercial artist. And then he went into marketing. Mm. Wallpaper. Wall and paints. Mm. And. Travelled around. So I went to school wherever we happened to be, which included London, Bristol, Brighton, Maidstone, Luton, more than one place in London, more than once in Bristol.
Did anyone in any of these schools, I mean, often one or two teachers, grab hold of one's imagination? Did anyone influence you strongly? Do you remember any particular teachers or...?
No. So there was one incident when I think I told my parents that I think I'd asked him why I hadn't brought home any homework. I said, well, I'd done it, it was all so easy. And they said, well, what are you doing at school? And I said, I was cleaning out the cupboards. Why are you cleaning out the cupboards? Well, I don't need to spend much time in lessons, and the school teacher said, you're wasting your time, just clean cupboards. And that led to the same time my father actually intervened or took any interest in me and my life. And he turned up at the school and said, why was his son being asked to clean out the cupboards with him? That's all.
Mm. But you found schoolwork very easy on the whole?
Yes.
What were you particularly interested in? What subjects were you interested in? What did you specialise in? This must have been during the war.
Art. I think the only subject that interested me really, substantively, was art. Mm. Why didn't I pursue it? Because I didn't agree with the art teachers that I was talented enough. They thought I was, and I thought I wasn't.
Yes.
But I thought I would like to be an architect. But that meant learning mathematics. Mm. And it meant planning a 7-year course. I was admitted to the School of Architecture at Liverpool, which was then famous for what Peter Catcher still is. Then we realised it would be a 7-year thing. Mm. 7-year course of education, which now I couldn't afford my parents couldn't afford me. And then there was always this feeling that I'd had to do mathematics and engineering.
Mm. This must have been during the war, 1932, and your later part of your education was in the trenches.
Yes.
Did that influence, do you have recollections of that at all? Did you have to avoid...
No, absolutely no recollection of the subjects I was studying, or was interested. No recollection whatsoever.
Really? What about the war? Do you have any memories
being bombed. And being evacuated.
where you were evacuated from?
From London, first to Tiverton, and then later to Hartford, which is around the corner.
Yes. Yes. With your whole family, or just you?
No, just me and my brother.
Who did you go and stay with? Where were you evacuated? And we boarded with someone?
In Tiverton with the family. Didn't really want to have anybody boarded on them. And we misbehaved in some way. I went into a room in the house that no one must go into. Then the second time, evacuated by myself, without a mother, to Tiverton, with a very warm, caring family.
To Hartford. And so, do you still keep in contact with them?
No. I remember the name. The name was Dye, D-Y-E. Dye is a Hartford.
What a Dye is a Hartford. They're probably still there. It's an unusual name in the Philippines, director.
Yes.
When you went on at school until what age?
18.
You did A-levels?
Yes, equivalent of.
What subject?
Art. Economics. History. Geography.
4.
Latin.
5. 5 A-levels.
I think Latin at some point. I hadn't done Latin earlier. And I needed Latin to go to university in England. I think I did that with Miss Craven. I think therefore I pronounced Latin with the Scottish
accent.
Oh, that's enough.
You've decided you'd go to university at this point. You've always assumed you'd go to university.
No. I'm not quite sure how I decided to go. My parents opposed strongly and refused to sign whatever paper it was one had to sign.
They didn't want you to go.
And I complained to the headmaster of the school in Bristol. And later my father came to hear that I had complained. And I must have told him. Because the headmaster sent a letter to him, probably. And said, really, parent is expected to sign this. So he did. And then I went. I can't, there's something like that.
So it was your decision to do this?
Yes.
Which university did you go to?
Newcastle. It was then University of Durham. And then when I got there, I think I went to read geography. It was geography and anthropology. But when I got there, I found anthropology.
It was part of what you were reading.
Yes, but I did a sort of double degree, examined only in geography. But I did an undergraduate degree in anthropology. Meinhardt, and Shebbitz.
What sort of were the
main
kind of themes of anthropology in you? This would be in the late.
Oh, Shebbitz was interested in theory. Culture of fear. Don't recall him then talking about land tenure in pursuit of land, which is one of his areas. And Meinhardt was extremely friendly and hospitable. And I think his lectures were on that. Must have been into the clustering monkey kinship. Kingship and kinship, I don't remember a word about it. Probably didn't understand the word about it. But he encouraged me and said he'd make a very good anthropologist. And so did Shebbitz, and I got on with the two of them. They didn't get on with each other. But they both thought I should go and do anthropology.
Did you find that exciting?
I did. Yes, I found the theory exciting. I found kinship and kingship. Land tenure wasn't on us. And I didn't find it was interesting that the Meinhardt has a pet leopard. I was more interested in that, I think. kingship. Sorry, this is all the stuff of anthropology that I didn't really find.
But you bit sufficiently to feel that you'd like to go on to do a postgraduate degree in a private?
Yes.
At Oxford?
Yes.
And that was what you did at Oxford?
That's about 53.
I was there as a little boy at this preparatory school at the time. If I'd walked up the road there, you would have been as a superhuman and a superman, and I'd got the postgraduate
degree. Got lemon chamois gloves sometimes.
You did?
Sometimes. I found them many years later. Don't remember I used to wear them at that time. Can't
think. Who was at Oxford when you went to
the teachers?
Edgar Brown had gone.
Edgar Brown's gone. EP was there.
Maya wasn't there.
No.
I had just gone to.
Yes.
John Beattie was there? No.
John Beattie was there, yes. Needham, I think, gave his first seminar in my year, wasn't it? I think joined the staff just started reading. Very dreary thing on Rockwood Grounds.
And
Daisy Bates, that hadn't made an appearance, at least in those days, at that time. She came in later. Unless I'm mistaken. I don't recall Daisy Bates as prominent from that time. Then, of course, there was Paul Hanning. He was the light of the church.
Was he?
He was the person with ideas. And Dusty Hanning.
Laura Hanning.
Laura Hanning. She was known as Dusty.
Had she written?
And Jim was known as Paul. Or Paul was known as Jim. Paul was known as Jim. It was Jim and Dusty.
And they were very lively.
Oh, they were lively. They had ideas. They read ideas.
Did they get on with the other people?
Yes, they did get on, I think. I think they were quite popular.
An American?
They're Americans.
Who was your
sister? Was sophisticated. And she wore sort of leopard skin tights. And with kind of curl up on the floor, uncurl on the floor, perhaps. And you were invited there for drinks. Nobody else behaved like that. It was Dusty.
Was she a very... I mean, she's written this marvellous book, Return to Laughter. Was she a very sensitive and...
Yes, yes.
...observant person?
Yes.
And who...
They both were. And I would probably think that the work they do jointly on the two economies, is that right?
Yes.
It's probably superb in this day.
Was Evans Pritchard already passed to the intellectual?
Yes, long, long past.
It couldn't have been long past, because in fact Neuro Religion was only published about 55
years. Oh yes, but I had a very poor opinion of all the Neuro work. Well, I didn't read it immediately. I don't know how I avoided reading it. I don't think I read the Neuer properly until my probably second of even my third year. I thought it was more a work of fantasy than a work of anthropology. Oh dear, must I go into all this?
Yes. You thought he had made it all up?
Yes, I thought it was not very true. Oh dear, I ought to think through all this before recording. But
that was your feeling, punctuated.
Yes.
You hadn't obviously been to Africa at this time.
Oh, no, I thought it was entirely unnecessary to go to Africa. Field work was entirely unnecessary.
Why was that?
Breakfast.
Why was it unnecessary?
Why was it unnecessary? For one, it was dangerous and inconvenient and dirty.
Oh, well, that's different.
That was just one thing, but I wasn't into all that then. The other thing was, a few basic principles learned from Zimmerman or something, particularly. Sorry, this sounds ridiculous, but this is how one.
Well, what were the basic principles?
Well, I can't remember them now. I could look them up.
And what sort of order of principle? Like?
Well, types of relationships around which types of society and cultural behaviour sort of work together. If you knew one thing, you knew the other.
Pattern variables, in other words.
Sort of pattern variables.
If you knew it was a gemeinschaft, I mean,
that's right.
Society, then you could predict all sorts of things like a legal and moral system. cut.
Yes, yes.
But someone somewhere has got to go through the unpleasant experience of being asked and finding whether you're right, presumably. Otherwise, we all sit here.
Oh, no, because you were right. If they didn't find it, they were wrong. That was the absurd idea one had at the time.
So the world had to conform to your prediction.
Yes, that was what one thought. And it demonstrated by the person one talked to, because you could tell him what he'd found out, and he would agree.
Well, that's what he found. You never found anyone who said, no, you're wrong.
No, no. Probably no one took you seriously enough to say that. Probably not even thought that.
Well, who were the people who you were checking your a priori theoretical framework with? In other words, the people who came back with actual messy data, your sort of co-PhD field workers at that time.
That's right, yes.
Who were they?
Can't remember them now.
Can't remember any of the people you were...
Well, I can, but, yes.
I mean, at that time, at Oxford, there must have been... John Campbell, was he one of the people?
Yes.
He's right, writing. You didn't mention Harry Stinnett, wasn't he a teacher?
Yes. My first tutor was the Dumont. Then the
Dumont
was there. He was there for a year. And then went back to Paris. And then John Hosan inherited me.
Let's go back to Dumont. Dumont. What was Dumont working on at that time? Was he working on?
He used to talk about La Tarasque, but he probably in ways that none of us really understood.
Mm.
He also used to lecture on Pramali Kala. Who or what was Pramali Kala? A subcaste in a sucaste.
Mm. Oh, yes, he wrote a book on it.
Sukhas, that was what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us could understand a word.
He spoke in English.
From his lecture. Yes, but there was also a problem of English.
Mm.
But despite that, I mean, that aside, there were problems in understanding his lectures. I don't think anybody understood anything from his lectures.
Really? Was he a bad lecturer as well?
I think so.
So a language, a theory, and
I think, you know, he'd emerged. He'd done his field work probably recently, and probably hadn't worked it all out.
Mm.
And there was this business about the marriage, affinity. He was just starting on.
Oh, yes.
Rethinking affinity and marriage.
That's right. Allowance and affinity. It was the great time of the beginnings of the debate about affinity and kinship.
We didn't discuss hierarchy.
You didn't?
We didn't discuss hierarchy.
As you know only too well, he acknowledges.
Yes, that was a great surprise. Great pleasure in a way. Great surprise. I couldn't think what he meant.
Acknowledges your influence on his book, Homo Hierarchicus. What? If you didn't discuss him, how did you influence him? He read your thesis.
Yes, he read the thesis. And probably at that time I was working on the theory of relationships and which ones are opposed to others or to follow. Culturally consequence. But I don't recall ever discussing hierarchy religion. I do recall discussing the sacred and the faith and arguing that it wasn't enough of it. I remember saying something. We didn't discuss hierarchy. We really didn't discuss hierarchy.
Mm, so he got it through your writing or the ones you were talking to?
Yes, he read. I must have written a chapter at that time in which that was discussed. And he did read what I wrote.
Mm.
And he thought
He thought I was doing something which should be. So he upgraded me from the master's degree, which is a PhD degree. He said, don't bother with the master's degree, get this out. But I really was very surprised with the. One of the English editions of Homer Iacchus came out. He sent it to me and wrote, with great apologies, please see page so and so. Page so and so said, he was very sorry, he'd forgotten to acknowledge his source in the French edition.
That's right.
And I was quite, I remember being very surprised.
What was the idea?
Quite totally surprised.
What was the idea? That
really? It's
can you remember the idea that he acknowledged? What was the sense of point? The idea of.
Oh, he claimed that. That this business of encompassing the hierarchy and increasing the next was the whole area which I did use to discuss with David Pocock before their divorce, before their divorce. I don't recall ever discussing this with him.
Did he claim that that idea came from the
yes.
Which we've done?
Yes. Yes, so there, I did do something on this. On that night, and we could talk about this another time, but I did. I went to great lengths actually to try to understand what I was doing, to the point of taking mescaline.
Really?
I took mescaline 4 or 5 times initially. Trying to understand what I was doing more clearly and find a solution. I was looking for a totally exclusive, exhaustive list of something, and I thought if they weren't gaps, I could find that out under mescaline. What one did find out under mescaline was what we were thinking became very, very, very sharp, but you couldn't think anything new. And of course, these wonderful visual things, I'm looking at them. We're looking around here at these parallel, these vertical lines of books, colours, and that's where there's twisted over. You would hear that, you would hear these lines, and you would hear something where it's been twisted. That was the classical stuff, that is what we were expected to have one to enjoy under mescaline, and one did enjoy the work. But, and one did in that sense expand consciousness, one didn't expand thought, particularly logical thought, if you were looking for the logical thing. I did think then that one could pose questions more clearly, but there's no way of finding a solution as a result of putting oneself into that state of body and mind.
I mean, to me it seems a strange thing to do. Were there other people doing this at that time that you knew of? Or
yes.
Perhaps as a famous example of anyone else in Oxford?
Oh, no, but I knew one or two people socially who were taking it for the trip. And then I decided to take it. See what I could discover.
Your alternative to field work, I can see. Instead of all that messy, unpleasant data gathering. A drug-induced trip instead.
Alan Blackman, one person. I think he was the person who introduced it to me. He was a student of anthropology and art. Where is he now? He went into designing exhibitions for museums. At one stage in his life, designed window displays for big departmental stores in New York, I think. Perhaps in London. Perhaps he started in London.
What was Dumont like?
Sorry, as a person?
What was Dumont like as a person?
As a person?
You got to know him. Was he friendly and...
Yes, yeah. Very friendly.
Encouraging.
Very, very encouraging. Gave you some self-confidence. Read you very carefully, engaged in discussing with your thesis. I mean, unlike Paris de Andres, who was very charming, very friendly, also gave one self-confidence, and could play tennis. but I think you didn't often find enough time to read your chapters, and therefore it wasn't necessary to meet very often for tutorials. He was very appreciative, and of course very intelligent, very intelligent himself. Yes, and he was the only anthropologist who was teaching his own culture. As a Mediterranean, he was teaching Mediterranean studies, or eventually turned to teaching Mediterranean studies.
By this time he was being a priest, I changed from his North African.
As I was leaving, yes.
What was he working on when he was writing about this?
Cypriot village he visited every year.
But this time
we'll wrap all this up, won't we? We can do it again while it's more relaxed.
We said we can, but it's worth just practicing.
Yes, just a dust practice.
When Peristiani was supervising you, was he beginning at that time? They were beginning to bring anthropology home and make training studies. We just started with Campbell first as a teacher.
Were you
involved in that, in discussing it?
This will have to say no comment. Yes, I was.
Tell us about honour among the Arabs. What was the connection between honour among the Arabs and the work that was being done in the Arab Mediterranean? This was a book that you had found in Bodmin.
Yes. Farid.
Farid.
Honour among Arabs. I found it in an uncut. It was uncut when I found it.
Yes. What was it sort of mean?
Well, it gave me the sort of ethnography that I was looking for that illustrated what I knew already, namely that there was a kind of logical connection between competition, competitive relationships, and honour.
What about shame?
Doesn't that sound profound?
What about shame? That didn't come into it.
Yes, honour and shame. But that was on that dimension. That was quite different from honesty and sin.
Yes.
It was to hierarchy. And that was what I was concerned with. That shame was to competition, as guilt was to hierarchy. Mm. And that was the sort of area I was working out. And then one looked for some ethnography. I did have a very... ethnography was a very... I mean, I did have a very simplistic view about ethnography, which was grist to one's mill. The mill was what was important. One needed grist because people needed proof. Proof was available in the ethnography.
So you raided it.
And I raided it. And, introduced that notion, which then was taken further by the Mediterranean. I wanted, as a result of that, I wanted to go to Portugal. First, the glimmer that I had that perhaps fieldwork should be done for its own sake was toward, after I finished my piece, I went to Corsica on a fellowship. But then I thought, to finish the thesis, I would then go do fieldwork in Portugal. And was encouraged by E.P., with whom I did not have any personal relationship whatsoever, personal or professional relationship, although I was his research assistant for 6 months. My duties consisted of dusting the books in the library. That was what research assistants did, if anything at all.
Really, were just paying me?
Yes, while waiting for the results of your thesis examination. So I applied, I can't remember to what foundation, possibly Nuffield Foundation, to go to Portugal. And was told that, I think it was E.P. who said, sorry to hear if you can get it, because they think going to Portugal is going on holiday, and they're not in the business of financing holidays. I think it was E.P. who put it like that. Could have been, couldn't it?
Could have been.
Relative.
So you might have done a few work in Portugal and become a Mediterranean.
Yes.
As it was, the Honour and Shame School of Anthropology, which was very influential, was partly related to work that you've seen.
Yes, I gave the first seminar. I gave the first seminar in that series of kind of particularly these relationships. And everyone else kindly demonstrated their importance after their hard work in the field.
What kind of book?
Rubbed this out, won't you? So this, I don't have that view of fieldwork in ethnography anymore. Mm-hmm. Certainly. There was somebody called Leach who later talked about butterflies.
That's quite correct.
Yes.
Yes. And you had that rather, that view of things, but yes. Collecting butterflies.
Except I thought they were dragonflies or ants. Nothing is interesting in butterflies. Mm.
He was talking about taxonomies and classifying things, and putting things into boxes rather than. What about John Campbell's work on Homo Homini patronage? Was one of his students.
Yes.
And you discussed his work with him as well.
Oh, yes, I read every paragraph in his draft.
And made some suggestions how it might be improved.
I suppose so. He was an ethnographer, really, looking for theory. And people did then distinguish between theory people and ethnography people. And I was supposed to be a theory person.
You were a theory person, not a person, ethnographer. So
necessarily being obliged from time to time to look for some ethnography. Mm. And John had lots and lots and lots of ethnography. And it was very nice talking to him.
Mm. He's what sort of man is he, I think about him. He worked in the civil service or diplomatic service or something as well at some point. Or did he go into that afterwards? Something in the...
I don't think so. He may have gone into anthropology afterwards.
Mm.
He was ill. PD. In a sanatorium somewhere for some time, where he met his wife, who I think was also ill in the sanatorium.
She was South African, wasn't she?
Yes.
Mm. Returning to your thesis, what was the title of your thesis?
Social change, formal and empirical self. Notice the theory and the fact. The cotton of those days.
Yes. And what was the synopsis of the thesis and what was the central?
I tried to invent a kind of comparative method for studying social change. The ethnography one was obliged to find somewhere I found in these Yucatan sites of the Redfield. I remember actually writing, doing the ethnographic part, maybe an exaggeration. I don't think it took me more than 4 or 5 days to write however many chapters there were on the ethnography at the end.
Hmm.
Probably the most dreadful part of thesis altogether. But that, I really don't think it took me, I think it took less than a week to do the whole ethnography bit.
The empirical, so the formal analysis was... What's this? This was
Paul and I was a couple of years.
Mm.
I was threshing about, couldn't find my way. And I had to cope with the pattern variables and understand the pattern variables and see what general system is there. And to see what system had been missed out. And of course the spatial system was totally missed out in general theory. So I tried to put it in. The PE called said that I was out passing in the passings.
Who were your examiners? Was each of them your examiners?
No.
Who was the internal examiner?
The first examiners. It was examined twice.
Yes.
The first examiners were Leach.
Edmund Leach. Was the examiner.
Who was the Leach
guy? Leonhardt.
think the intern was Curtis Daniel. I think in those days, a supervisor was required to be the intern. Check that out. Mm.
There was a long examination, a short examination. The actual driver?
I think it was quite long. I mean, well, a couple of hours. Mm. And I was attacked from the moment he opened his mouth, he was by Leach. Mm. He had made an enormous number of notes. I think he typed out an enormous number of notes. And half understood what I started to say, half hadn't. I don't blame him in one way, because I wrote no doubt extremely badly. Mm. I saw the thesis the other day. This was terribly written, terribly presented. Mm. Even the typing was very I can't remember quite how he put it, but he obviously didn't like it. Mm. Whatsoever. But he put in a report which was as bad as, which was considered by the University of Oxford as bad as he considered the thesis. Even perhaps very similar, incomprehensible, confused. So the University of Oxford rejected his report,
which was fairly unusual.
Not my thesis, fortunately. And at the university's expense, other examiners were found later on, and it went through. I was congratulated after that.
Were you revived?
Yes, I was revived. I think by an Irish sociologist, the only sociologist as such then at Oxford, who was at Barnet House. So
An Irish sociologist at Barnet House.
Well, was he in the first group or the second group? Mm. And Gluckman.
Yes, Gluckman.
Gluckman was brought into Manchester. That viva took 5 minutes.
Really?
And I was congratulated very warmly by Gluckman, who presumably was scoring off Leach. To my advantage, rather than my expense. And I was sent off. He didn't have time and rush off for a... I think normally we're invited to have drinks,
yes.
He had to catch a train, or the EP wanted him to leave immediately. Probably that. So I never actually saw Gluckman. At the same time, I saw him at the Viva for 5 minutes. Mm. Never had a word outside the Viva. Never saw him before or after.
Mm-hmm. That's strange. Yeah. Did they suggest
that I've written and thought a great deal about Manchester School?
Mm. Did either of them suggest that part of it should be published? Or?
I think Gluckman did, yes.
This comparative method and approaches to trying to set up comparative methods in anthropology. All this tape will not be. We're going to rub over it.
Yes, we'll do it more. We'll do it again.
But I know that you feel that some of the ideas in your thesis must have, just as I explained, things contaminating my blood from Fountains Abbey and capitalism onwards. There are things in your thesis which re-emerged rather surprisingly elsewhere.
Yes. Rethink again the property.
Edmund Leach's
paper by Leach. And what was wrong with the paper was that it reflects his half-understanding of what he'd read in the thesis.
Mm. So it's really like his examiner's report.
And possibly, I'd love to see his own examiner's report. I want to see his notes. I want to see his report. It's just history that I'd like to know. I'm sure it's quite important to me at the time. Ruined my life at the time.
Mm.
So,
that was in 1963.
But he may have, yes, it was in the 50s.
His lecture was in 1963.
Yes, this thesis was in 56. That's in 56. It may have been that he said something in his report to the London Council, that's in Oxford. He may have said that there was something.
Mm. but that it needed reworking, retyping, etc.
Could have said that. It was really very, very badly written, presented. Very unfinished, unpolished. Looks like a piece of waste paper, really, the thesis itself. It reads like that as well. It does.
But what was that? That lecture of Leach's, which was the first Malinowski Memorial Lecture, the number Rethinking Anthropology.
Oh, I've forgotten that.
And published in...
You've done a Malinowski Lecture. I've never done a Malinowski Lecture.
Well, anyway, mine was about the 26th, and his was the first, and it was...
No, it wasn't the 26th, it was a very early one. And I came across it when I was looking through to see which man, which issues of man I could bring to it.
Well, Leach's article was one of the kind of stars in his crown, and along with some of the ideas in political systems we have in Burma and so on. What was it that you think that he garbled in
categories?
Categories. In what way? Can you explain that?
Categorical logic. He hadn't seen that. It's all such a long time ago. Cottoned on to categories, categorical distinctions, and categorical logic. I'm not saying he got the initial idea from the thesis, but my thesis was on that topic. I have to recall it, or I can't remember it. He was half baked, like most of Leach's important papers.
It's
half-baked. So there was an idea there, but it was a half-baked idea.
And do you think if he hadn't read
your
work...
Because my thesis only quarter-baked, but
without your work...
anything more than that. It was a very bad without thesis.
Without your work, do you think he would have come to a sort of conclusion?
Did
you come across him again?
No. Never met him. Oh, he wrote to me once about raising funds to bring a Chinese anthropologist out. I think he didn't know I lived in Taiwan and learned some Chinese and written. And he gave me a few helpful hints on how to deal with Chinese, which was a pathetic thing. And also I was annoyed by it as well.
So after you've dusted down these books in the library for 6 months, had your reviver, what did you do then? What was the next?
And I went off to Lusaka, to the secretary of the Rhodes Institute,